Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. Visit speakuptalkradio.com. And right now, I have an author with me who says he always loved to tell stories, but was never able to break the chains of impromptu and shyness. And we'll see about that today. He is Nick Othman. He has a fondness of writing, and he had a fondness of writing all throughout school, and started a small blog at the beginning of his college career at Southeastern Louisiana University. Eventually, he took a huge financial and a nerve-wracking plunge to venture to Ireland by himself to seek inspiration. When he returned from Ireland for his final semester of college, he continued writing. And while his series is science fiction, it has deep roots in biblical history, and the first in the series draws inspirations from happenings in his own life. He took one of the short stories and turned it into a middle chapter of his first book, Refraction, The Principle of Light. Nick hadn't planned to write more than one book, but loved the process so much and had so many ideas brimming for a sequel that he just had to write more. A year later, and out popped the second book, Diffraction, The Second Principle of Light. And currently he's working on the concluding novel to the trilogy titled Reflection, The Final Principle of Light. He also works full-time at KATC TV3 as a photographer on the news team and will be a happily married man on November 26, 2016 to his amazing fiancée, Sabri Dean. Nick says, I've got ideas for book series after my current one, and one day I hope to make this dreamy life one that is self-sustaining. And I hope so, too, and I'm looking forward to finding out more about this special young man. So welcome to the network, Nick.
Oh, thank you so much. That's surreal.
It's a pleasure to have you here today. Now, you say that sometimes it takes just one adventure to spin your life upside down, to flip on a switch that you never knew was in the dark corner of your mind. With that, share your journey of becoming a writer.
Sure. But when I was in college, before I was in electronic media, which is what I graduated with, shooting video and editing video and telling stories that way, I was actually in the computer programming courses over at Southeastern. I grew up playing video games, a lot of video games. I didn't have too many friends when I was younger. I kind of kept to myself, and I loved the world of video games, and I loved the stories that I was told, and it all there was grabbed me, and I wanted to give that. I wanted to give that back to the world when I got older. So I was in computer programming. About a year and a half into it, I kind of thought, maybe this isn't quite for me. And so I went over to electronic media, and I really liked how I could visually tell the story a lot better when I could throw music in there and really get people's emotions, really really give them a rise and kind of get them involved that way. Mm-hmm. And so I graduated with that, and I decided to go to Ireland my last semester in school. I just wanted to find something. I wanted to go out there and kind of see what more the world had to offer to me. So I went out there and I took some writing classes in Ireland, and it was there that I really loved. That's kind of where I found my love of writing, is I could tell a story and I could just really craft it. I could really craft the world, and I didn't have to worry about all the technical things of shooting, like the lighting or the equipment that was being used, or relying on maybe other people to be there at the right time, at the right place. Writing, I really had total control. It was just me behind the computer with my imagination. So that's really kind of where my love of writing kind of came from, is just being able to have that kind of control and really have the whole ball in my court, I guess.
That's so interesting. Perhaps if you hadn't had the background in video, you might not have realized the stark difference between the two, or maybe not have appreciated writing so much. So why Ireland? Why did you pick Ireland?
I actually went to Ireland years and years before that with my grandparents. My grandparents love to take their grandchildren on trips, on exotic trips. And so my sister and me went with my grandparents to Ireland many years ago, and it was an awesome place. It was beautiful. The people there were just overjoyed and nice. No matter what they were doing, they could be doing the smallest tasks. They were just so friendly and helpful. And the land over there was, oh my gosh, it was just expansive and rolling hills, and it was just so beautiful. And so when I saw the opportunity to go back, I was kind of doing some research online, and I actually came across a flyer at school. So I took that flyer back to me to my dorm and kind of looked more up about it on my computer, and I saw the chance, and I was like, I feel like I have to do this again. I feel like this is meant to be. I need to go back to Ireland to find something. And sure enough, I sure did.
I love that story. You actually paid attention to that little voice inside, which so many people don't. You know, they get that calling or they hear that voice and it's like, no, I better stick with what I know. So you need to be so proud of that. It was a bold move for you to do and obviously paid off.
Oh, it was. Yeah. I was so nervous, everything leading up to it. We don't take really big risks, but that was just one I felt like I couldn't pass up. So I'm glad I didn't.
I'm glad you didn't either. Well, now, while your series is science fiction, you say it has deep roots in biblical history, and the first in the series draws inspiration from happenings in your own life. So do tell us about that.
Sure. Let's see. I guess I'll touch on just kind of the first book having drawing experiences in my own life. There, when I was really young, I used to have this recurring dream, and the very first chapter of my first book, Refraction, you're dropped right into that dream sequence, and it kind of happens over and over again as the story unfolds. And in that dream, I'm just kind of off in a field by myself. There's nobody else around. I'm a little child, and I'm calling out to my parents. They never answer, and so I kind of just keep wandering. And as I wander, maybe, I don't know how far I wander, but I never find anything. And eventually, the rain starts falling, and everything kind of just goes dark and gets grim, and eventually I wake up. And that was kind of a recurring dream that I had when I was younger. And so to kind of deal with it, I kind of started writing about it. And I took that middle chapter that I had found, or that I had written, rather, in Ireland, and a professor up there told the class to write about something that you know. And I'm like, well, I really know a lot about this dream that I've been having. So I went ahead and I kind of connected the two and started writing a little bit in between of those chapters. And I thought, you know, I could actually make something out of this. So a good bit of it, and the main character in the series, he's pretty isolated. He's kind of reserved. And that's also kind of just a harken back to who I used to be. I used to be a very shy person. I'm not so much like that anymore now that I'm in news. Kind of have to be right. Put myself out there a lot more. But
I find that kind of interesting. You know, you have this dream that's confusing, and to write about it is rather cathartic and get it out there. And maybe that dream was just meant for you to get out there and write about it. It might be all leading to what you're doing today. So maybe give us a brief synopsis of your book titled Refraction, The Principle of Light.
Okay. Refraction, The Principle of Light, or I guess maybe just The Principle of Light in general, the series. There's a lot of religious history in it. I do a lot of research on it. Religious history is something that I've always been fascinated with. And in particular, the Garden of Eden. I'm a Christian. I was born and raised Christian. And so I've always liked the Garden of Eden. I thought that was the coolest thing when I was little. And so that plays a pretty big role in the story. But it starts off with the main character, August is his name. And he's just kind of a happy-go-lucky kid. He comes from a good family, a good upbringing, and kind of no worries. And he's sent off to college to England as per request of his father. He doesn't really want to go there. He doesn't know why he doesn't have a choice. But he goes anyways. And as he's up there in England at college, you know, first few months go by, and everything's good. He's starting to makes a friend or two. And then things kind of take a turn for the worse. And I won't really spoil too much, of course. But he and this, oh, I should have said in the beginning, this book series takes place about 100 years in the future. So, in the future, in my future, there's a lot of things have changed, and there's a bunch of robots kind of that have taken over a lot of the lower class kind of paying jobs, like, I don't know, maybe like bus drivers or janitors or something like that. And so, eventually, he befriends this one robot called Ares. The robot's name is Ares, and together they kind of they're thrown into this conflict that's much bigger than themselves, And it does have a connection to the dreams that he's been having, that dream about being in the field by himself. It all kind of comes together at the end of the series. And so together they got to figure out what these dreams mean, and they've got to put a stop to the evil that's kind of threatening them. And that's kind of the premise of the first book.
Okay. And then your second book, Diffraction, the Second Principle of Light. Tell us about that one.
Sure. And so Diffraction kind of picks right up where the story left off. And this one, I decided to implement a second kind of main character. Her name is Riley. And I decided she always needed to be challenged, maybe not necessarily by an adversary, but somebody that was an ally. So I created the character Riley, who she's kind of the opposite of Ari. She grew up in a very rough family and had a very rough upbringing, and she really knows how to fight. And she has a very cool head, where Ari, or August, does not have a cool head. He does not really have control of his emotions and stressful situations, but Riley does. And so Riley doesn't like August because of who he is and where he grew up at. So instantly she doesn't like him because of that. August doesn't understand why. And so they kind of come into conflict back and forth. And they each kind of go on their own separate journeys. The books are kind of split into two or maybe three perspectives. And I kind of try to make sure that the reader understands whose perspective is being told. And so it's all first person. And Riley has another robot called Athena. And Ares and Athena are brother and sister. They kind of come from the same maker. And so in that way, they're connected, and they're all kind of fighting for this towards the same thing, which I'm not sure how much you can say without spoiling it. But it's a very grand adventure. It's very over the top. Not over the top as in unbelievable, but over the top like it spans many different religious backgrounds and many different histories and mythologies, and a lot of things really come together.
Okay.
in the book.
But didn't come together enough that you felt like you were done. So now you have the third book, Reflections. Tell us, well, you don't want to give us any spoilers, but how's that going to round out this series?
Well, you know, I've always liked the law of threes is what it's called, where it's just things kind of seem to hit home when you tell them in threes. And so when I decided to keep writing, I was like, if I'm going to keep writing, I want to make this a complete story. And I feel like a trilogy usually kind of does that pretty well. And so when I started writing the second book, I kind of hammered out an outline of what I wanted to happen in this book and what I wanted to happen in that last book and the third book that I'm working on. And that's pretty much how it came to be. Mm-hmm. There's not too much outside of just I wanted it to be a trilogy, because I felt like that way I could tell a more full story. I could breathe life more into these characters and have what happens to them really tug at you, and you can get attached to these characters. So that's kind of why I chose to do three books.
Mm-hmm. So you thought that right at the very beginning. That's interesting, because a lot of folks, sometimes they're writing, and as they're writing, they realize, okay, this is kind of ending, but maybe I need a second book. But you, from the very beginning, thought, all right, writing three of them.
Yep, I sure did.
Oh, that's very interesting.
I like to have my stuff planned out.
that there you go, one of those questions that we typically ask when we talk about an author's writing process is, do you write an outline, or are you more the seat of your pants kind of writer?
Mm-hmm. My first book was definitely kind of off the cuff. I just kind of wrote as and went, because I didn't realize it would turn into a book. It's kind of more like a personal process, and as I got closer to being finalized, I was like, this is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the second one, I went into it, the mindset, like, yes, I'm going to make something out of it. So I've got outlines, and even for the book series I've got after this, I've kind of got, like, very vague outlines of kind of things I'm thinking of. So I kind of think ahead in advance.
Good. I understand it. All right, let's talk a little bit more then about your writing process. Is there a special place that you like to write?
You know, no one's ever asked me that question.
There you go.
I live in an apartment right now, and there's actually a pond right outside. We've got a balcony view of our pond. So we've got a hammock out there. It's kind of nice to sit out there in the hammock and just kind of write over the pond. Besides that, I actually put my books on Google Documents.
Okay.
And that way I can see them on my phone, And I just kind of like to write whenever I've got a spare time, whether that's at work, I've got an hour break for downtime, or mountain about, and I think, oh, I should write this to my book before I forget. And I can just actually pop up the app, Google Documents, and I can scroll down to where I stopped writing the night before or the day before, and I can write from there. And then when it's time to get back to work or doing whatever I was doing, then I'll just close it and keep on going. That's actually how I've written a lot of my books. It's kind of like finding the windows of time, those little pockets.
Most people work or have a day job. So how do you fit that writing around work? You can't say, all right, I'm going to be creative tonight from 6 to 9. I mean, when that hits you, you have to be ready. So it sounds like you found a solution to that. Now, let's talk about your characters for a minute. Do you listen or talk to your characters, or are you in control of them?
I let the characters kind of, whatever happens in the books, I mean, this is, you know, it's all kind of predetermined, but a lot of the time when I'm writing and something happens, something will be said or some consequence will happen to a character because of what they did, I usually kind of divert from my original plan and kind of follow it and see where that rabbit hole goes. And more often than not, I actually have the characters kind of control me in my writing and what happens. Because there are a lot of times when I thought, I'm going to have this happen, but it turns out I'm writing it and they do something, I'm like, wow, that could have different consequences than what I was originally going to do. So let me keep going with this and see where this goes. Mm-hmm. So the characters actually kind of control their fate more than I think the author does.
No, I find that so fascinating that here it is coming out of your mind, and yet I've heard so many authors say that nope, those characters are like bad kids. They take off and do whatever it is that they want, and you just kind of follow along. It's very interesting to me.
Yep, just along for the ride.
Exactly. You're just writing it down on paper, right? Oh, my gosh. So have you learned anything about yourself as you write your books?
I have. I used to be much more reserved, and I know I kind of said that briefly before, how I've kind of come out my shell a little bit, and some of that is due to just being in the news world and having to go out there and talk to people all the time. And put myself out there to do what I need to get done. But, you know, I've actually, writing all these books, because they have kind of, I guess, a release to them as well. You know, like the whole dream sequence, it used to be a really lonely thought that I would have until I started writing it down. I started kind of mentally confronting that and, I guess, getting over it. So writing, actually, for me, it's much more than just, I guess, a job or whatever. It's much more than a hobby. It's actually kind of a way where I get to sit down, take a step back from the world, and really just kind of let my feelings kind of come out onto the paper. And sometimes I'll come across something that, I might not be comfortable with talking about, or some personal idea that I had in my life that's now being written into my books that I never really would have thought to really confront or climb over until I wrote it down. It's really a place where I kind of, it's a good place of it's an attainment, I guess I'm trying to say.
Well, writing really is a solo journey. You're sitting there all by yourself, pulling this out from yourself, and it's very cathartic and very therapeutic. So I would imagine that as you're writing, you have to be digging deep and then obviously and hopefully learning more about yourself. Now, your family and your fiance, how do they respond to your writing?
Well, my family, no one, when I was writing my first book, no one kind of ever really thought that I would be able to do it. no one ever thought that I would actually complete it and sit down and complete it, but to many people's surprise, I did. Mm-hmm. And so my family was overjoyed. My dad, actually, my biggest fan, he was sitting there when I told him, like, hey, my first book is going to drop on Amazon soon, probably tomorrow. He was actually sitting there at the computer because he works away. He travels a whole bunch for his job. Mm-hmm. And he was sitting at his computer between the hours of, like, midnight and 2 a.m. just hitting the refresh button on Amazon looking for my book. And so, right when it finally processed and went online and went live, he bought it immediately. So they've been huge, huge supporters.
Isn't that great to have your family support your work? It really is.
It is.
Now, what about your covers? How do you decide on the artwork?
Well, for the first cover, I actually had my, well, my fiance now, but then girlfriend, Sabri, she actually designed that one. And I've kind of just gone through the books, and I kind of pick them by, I guess by scenes that I think can really, that maybe kind of overall portray what could happen in the book, or what happens in the book, or just maybe like a really nice, I guess, impactful moment. And so for the first one, there are two little balls on the cover, and which she sketched out too, that all hand drawn that she had done,
which
turned out amazing.
Yes.
And the little red and blue balls on the cover, those are actually the little robots, Ares and Athena. And then that field is the field that's in the dream. And so for the second book, I actually went out and I decided to test the waters and see what a professional, I guess, cover designer could do for me. And so with that one, there's a character in the story that's kind of a big baddie, and his name is the Black One, is all you know him by. And so in the second book, you've got the girl and the guy, August and Riley. And then you've got two little balls there for Ares and Athena, and they're confronting the Black One in some scene that's happening in the book. Because that's kind of how I decided on the covers.
Oh, how exciting to have your fiancé, soon-to-be wife, be the artist of your cover. So is she an artist?
She does a lot of artwork. Mm-hmm. She doesn't sell any of her artwork or anything, at least not now. No, she's looking to in the near future, mm-hmm. but she's kind of always done artwork, and she'll go back to her hometown, and whenever they've got like a fair every year, and she loves going back to the fair, and she loves showing me the art gallery and looking through all the artwork and feeling like, oh, I won this first place prize with this picture, and I've got a whole bunch of her pictures hung up in my room, actually. she's a wonderful artist. I mean, I love the work that she does, and it's very good.
Well, that's great that the two of you could collaborate on that first book, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it was something special. It was.
Yeah, absolutely, and it'll always be there for your future. Now, you say, yeah, I hope to make this dreamy life one that is self-sustaining. How do you see that happening?
Well, I kind of hope in the future I'm able to sell enough books to really be able to make this a full-time job. I love what I do. I love writing. I will sit there for hours in the day, and hours will go by and won't realize it because I'm just enjoying the writing process too much. So I'm really hoping one day I'm able to get my books out there, get my name known, and just really, turn this life that a lot of people dream of into a reality.
Into a reality.
I know I can do it. Mm-hmm. It'll take work, but, I was brought up right and brought up just knowing that you can do whatever you put your mind to. So one day it will happen. I know it will.
Oh, I love you, and I love your confidence. I come from I come from a family that was like that as well. Like, anything you set your mind to is attainable. So keep that up. And that leads me to the next question about marketing and promotion, because, I know that you love to write, and that's what a writer wants to be doing. But the flip side of that is, well, then you need to get that out so people can find out who you are and read your books. So do you have any favorite ways to get the word out about your books?
I'm still learning that process. But I've been signing up for different, author websites. I think there's Goodreads. Obviously, there's Amazon. I've figured out how to make a website. So I've got that out there. And obviously, got my Facebook and word of mouth, and I've actually got like little business cards now for now that I can kind of hand off to people if they ever ask about my books. So I'm kind of slowly figuring out how to do it.
It is a process. I spoke with a gentleman the other day who said something interesting. No one had brought this idea to me before, where he said that he zeroed in on a couple of authors or people that he wanted, he appreciated their work or their style, or he valued their opinion, and he just put a copy of his book in the mail to them with just a slip of paper with his email address. It wasn't like a long letter, like, dear so-and-so, please read this and let me know what you think. And he sent three of them out, and he got two responses back, and now he uses those testimonials on his website. So I don't know, that might be a little hint for you.
I might steal that one. Yeah,
exactly. That's
a really good idea.
That's why I gave it to you. Maybe you could snatch that one and see what you can do with it as well.
Yeah, I'll keep that one in mind.
There you go. All right. So I know that you're a newer author, but obviously this is a passion for you and you've given it a lot of thought. Do you have any advice that you would give a fellow author that he or she could try immediately?
Yes. It might sound extremely cliche, but if you have an idea, then just do it. I mean, don't be afraid, because I'll tell you, there have been a lot of periods in my writing journey where I didn't feel like my books were getting there. I wasn't getting any sort of feedback on them. They weren't selling. I would kind of hit a brick wall. I wouldn't really know what to write, or I'd kind of get down and be like, I don't know if this is going to be for me. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if people are going to like this. But at the end of the day, it really is just all self-motivation. If it's something that you're passionate about, I mean, just do it. And if you do it and you do it well, people will start to notice you. And so just keep that heart and don't lose it. And, just write on. Just write on and just write your little heart out. Write your passion out, because what you put in is what you'll get out. And I promise you, whatever, if you put in your heart, it's you're going to get so much out of it, so much more than you think.
You are so wise, my friend. Very wise. I agree with you. So I know that you're working on your third book of the trilogy, but after that, what's next? Have any thoughts as to what comes after that one?
I do. I'm not quite ready to kind of start commenting on them, because they're very loose ideas.
Okay.
I don't want to commit to anything too soon.
All right, don't do that.
I definitely do have ideas.
But we know that your mind is working, right?
Oh, yes.
All right, is there anything then, as we begin to wrap up, that we missed that you would like to talk about today?
I don't think so. I think this has been a wonderful experience. 30 minutes went by so quick. And, if anybody chooses to read my books, I just really hope from the bottom of my heart that my books are enjoyed. Because at the end of the day, I love telling stories. I feel like we're not here enough in this life on Earth. And I feel like I've got a lot to say, and I feel like a lot of people have a lot to say too. Mm-hmm. And so this is just kind of the medium that I found.
So you're getting married here in November, and I would imagine that at some point in time there might be children in your future, and just think of your writing as such a gift and a legacy for them.
I'm glad you said that, actually, because I don't know how morbid it is, but I think a lot about what's going to happen after I'm gone. I want to leave my footprint somehow.
Yep.
And I do feel like, actually, through my writing and publishing books and putting my books out there, that I'll actually be able to leave something behind for my loved ones to kind of see and get a glimpse of, into my life and kind of who I was. Mm-hmm. Cause I definitely want to leave a mark somehow, and feel like writing is kind of my way. So
I think you found it. You are so special. I'm so happy that we had this opportunity to talk. And I want to make sure that people know where they can learn more about you and where they can purchase your book. So give us some of the contact information, if you would.
Sure. I guess probably the biggest place that you can find me on would be to go to Amazon right now. I'm only available on Amazon Kindle, but I am looking to get into a new fad where it's print on demand. So that's going to be happening pretty soon. But if you search my name on Amazon, it's just Nicholas Altman. You should be able to come to my author page that I have on Amazon, and you can buy the books on there. Or I believe I have a website link to the little website that I made on Amazon as well. They've got all the reviews and links and everything that you would need on my Amazon page, including actually my little blog that I started. I still kind of update it every now and then. So if you want to learn more about me, then I guess my Amazon page is the best place to go.
All right. Excellent. And we will have that on our page on our site as well. Nick, you talked about breaking the chains of impromptu and shyness, and I think you've done a fine job of doing both. I really feel like you were just such an awesome person, and I wish the very best to you both in your writing and your marriage to your best friend. So congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.